Today, Shalom Sechta is welcome, Daf Tzadik Vav, and we will begin on Daf Tzadik Hey, Tzadik Vav, I'm an Aleph. The first words on the block, on the Daf, El Kedair Shel Mikdash. We've been discussing extensively that the Kalim that we used in cooking the Kabanis in the base of Mikdash, we've been learning had to be kashered, and the Klicheres, we've been learning, had to be broken, because as we've been studying, there's no way of kashering Klicheres. But as the Gemara, based on the end of our previous shiur, where the Gemara taught us that if you put the Klicheres back into the furnace from where they came, then that's the way of kashering them. So as the Gemara, as we've been speaking about these Kederes, why is the halacha, why is the halacha require that they be broken? El kederes shel mikdash, the klicheres pats that were used in the base of mikdash. Amayish shavru, why is the halacha require that they be broken? Ask the Gemara, l'nehidrin enu, l'kivshaynis, why don't we just put them back into the kiln, into the furnace from which they came? And once we put them back into the kiln from where they came, they will be kashered. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Zera, Lefi She'ein, Oysen Kivshonis B'Yerushalayim. The halacha is that we don't want to have an abundance of smoke in Yerushalayim, and making a furnace in Yerushalayim will make too much smoke, and that's why that's not the option that we could do. The Rashi says that even though the Torah says the kli charetz should shover by yishover, so, and that was in the time of the Mishkan, where the Torah tells us that the kli charetz that we use to cook in kabanis should be broken. Says Rashi, in the Midbar where they had the Mishkan, they were constantly traveling, so it was not possible to make kivshoinus. It was not possible to make these furnaces. But once they were in Yerushalayim and they had the ability to make these furnaces, ask the Gemara, says Rashi, that why don't we just make these furnaces in Yerushalayim, build them, and we'll have them to kasher. To which Gemara says, because we don't have furnaces in Yerushalayim, we don't have to make smoke in Yerushalayim. And the way Tosfos explains the Gemara, we learned at the end of our previous year that we don't kasher kli charetz. The reason we don't kasher kli charetz, because the Gemara said the chayis alayu, people will not kasher them properly. So why doesn't the Gemara offer that as the reason for not making the kli charetz? So Tosfos answers that yes, we learned at the end of the shiur yesterday that there is such a gzeirah d'rabbanan, but in order to save those kli charetz pots and utensils, we should rely on the raisa and not be concerned about Shemapaki. And that's why the Gemara had to come up that the concern is a new concern that we don't make Kivshoinus in Yerushalayim. Amar Abaya, so asks Abaya, so what are we saying? That instead of making the furnaces, we'll break them. Ask the Gemara, but what will that mean? If we're going to have all of these broken shards of kli charetz in the Azara, is that something that's appropriate? Answers the Gemara, Ishtamitze had the Tana Shmai Bakalboy. Abaya forgot what was taught by Shmai Bakalboy, the Shiri Kli Charetz, that the Kli Charetz that broke Nevlam Kaimam were absorbed into the ground. So there was no concern for an abundance of garbage in the Azara. The reason you're not allowed to have an abundance of garbage in the Azara is because the Pasuk says, U'migdashai taro, and the Torah gives us very specific rules how we're supposed to show respect to the Makam Azara and the Makam HaMikdash. Certainly, having garbage there is not disrespectful. So the Rishonim ask, what's the concern that we're making garbage in the Azara? Who says that the halacha is that you have to leave it in the Azara? Maybe what the halacha says is that when you have these broken kalim, that you should take him out of the azara. So your concern of ois and aspis brushal in the azara is not really founded. So I saw that the chronim ask, even the taking out, the transporting, the Gemara's question is that even if you wouldn't have to leave him the azara, but taking him out is also disrespectful. Of course, the Brisk Rav asked the question, what are we worried about that's considered making garbage in the azara, and we're not allowed to make garbage in the azara? Ask the Brisk Rav, the Torah says that that's what should be done, as we've been learning over and over again, that if you have these kli cheres, you should break them. So if that's the case, the halacha is, why? What's the question? If that's what the halacha wants us to do, requires us to do, so that's what we have to do. So the way the Brisk Rav explains the Gemara is the Gemara is coming to teach us that maybe we should not make we should be allowed to make a kifshin in Yerushalayim to avoid making an ashpa. Of course, what halacha requires that it be broken and left there, then I have no choice. But maybe what part of the Gemara is asking that we should do the kifshinus, we should be able to do kifshinus, and since we could be able to make a kifshin, then we won't have to break the pot, and by breaking the pot, we will have ashpas, we will have garbage in the azara. Says the Gemara, Elohad Amarav Nachman, Amravavua, Talsha Midashamatas Chavat. Now that we learned, we keep on learning that we prefer to use metal pots. Naya for the cheres. Why don't we make a earthenware pot? The has seku b'fnimhu, that the fire will be from inside, and like that it will be kashered by cooking in the pot. Kivin answers the Gemara. Kivin dekalekach upon him. Once we have the lechem upon him that they brought every Shabbos. The afiyosim b'tanor that are baked in a furnace. The Kudushasim Batanar, and that's where they become Lechem Aponim. So the Lechem Aponim have to be baked in something which is Klisharis. And now the Gemara teaches us a new halacha, the Klisharis, the Cheris, Loy of Dinin. We're not allowed to have a Klisharis made out of Cheris. Says the Gemara, V'afil Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, who was lenient in what type of material may be used to make a kli cheres, lekama el beitz. He's only lenient in allowing wood. It doesn't have to be metal. But the halacha of cheres, making it out of earthenware, that for sure he agrees is osur, and that's why making it in a kli cheres, baking it in a kli cheres oven, is not an option. Says the Gemara, Yitzchak ben Yehuda avarogel kamei derami bachama. Yitzchak ben Yehuda was learning by Rami Bachama, Shafke, but he left Rami Bachama's yeshiva, Vazel Rav Sheshes, and he went to learn by Rav Sheshes. And says the Gemara, Yom Echad Pagabei, one day Rami Bachama meets Rav Yitzchak and Amalei, and he asks his Alafta Nokden Recha Asloy Liyad, the great individual held me, and he had the connection to me, and now he left me. And he said that what you're showing is that you're arrogant and I'm not good enough for you to learn by. You went to learn by somebody who's more distinguished. Mishum, and he said to him, Mishum da ozos le kamed Rav Sheshes, do you think because you now went to learn in Rav Sheshes yeshiva, and Rav Sheshes, the great Gol Ador, Havloch Rav Sheshes, does that mean that you're going to be like Rav Sheshes? Amalei, to Rav Yitzchak responded, Lav, that I was not leaving your yeshiva to go to Rav Sheshes' yeshiva because I was being arrogant, that I thought I could only learn by him. B'shem Hachi, the reason I went to learn by Rav Sheshes, because Kibbutz Milsa, when I used to ask you a question, Pashali Misvara, you would answer my question. You answer my question based on logic. And if I found a brisa which contradicts your logic, percolate. Because as great as your logic is, it can't supersede what's said in a brisa. Whereas he says, Rav Sheshis, Kibina Melsminei, when asked Rav Sheshis a question, partially, Mimasnitsin, the question he answers is based on a brisa, and therefore the Kiatnami Meshkach Nimasniso Percha, even if I find a different brisa, which contradicts what Rav Sheshis says, it won't be refuted. Because what we will have now is Masnisa Masnisa here. It'll be the opinion of two different brises. And when it's the opinion of two different brises may disagree. So we see from here, explain the Paiskim, the value of learning something in a way that you have many maramakoimus, that you have different svarim to back up what you're learning. And the Chidah quotes Yerushalmi Masecht Rosh Hashanah. The Yerushalmi says, Tani B'Shem Rem Nechemyam. The Pasuk says, Hoyse Kaniya Soicha Memechik Tavi Lachma. Pasuk in Eishes Chayel and Mishlei. Divrei Torah Anim B'Makam Echad Ashir B'Makam Echar. That the Torah is like a person who goes traveling. When a person goes traveling, he goes to many different ports and different markets and different cities to pick up different items to sell. And that's the power and that's the beauty of Divrei Torah. And that's what he was saying is the greatness of Rav Sheshis, who had all this bekiyus, who had all this knowledge in all these brises. The Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin says, Amar Rav Chanan ben Chanina, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan. B'mi atam moitz b'mechamta shel Torah. Who is the one that is successful in Divrei Torah? Mi'i sheyesh bay b'yad chavila shel Mishnah. And Rashi says that the person who amasses much learning, that is the person who could succeed in his learning because he has so much knowledge to back up what he learned. The Shailos HaTshuvos Rav Pa'alim says that there's a special quality in somebody who's a Talmud Chacham, somebody who paskens Shailos, somebody who's a Paisik, that was able to see various different opinions in different Shailos HaTshuvos. Because by seeing all these different opinions, they're able to come to the correct halacha. And I saw that in the Sefer Nitei Gavriel, who is a contemporary Paisik, who quotes in his Svarim many different Piskei Halacha from different sources. He writes that he once went to visit the Stipler, and he gave him some of his Svarim, the Nitei Gavriel. And after the Stipler looked into those Svarim, he said that, I now understand that you're writing your Svarim based on what we just learned in our Gemara, that you said that somebody who has the Rav Sheshis, who had a source for all of his Piskei Halacha, was considered a better source to learn from. And he writes that the Stipler was so impressed by a sefer that's written on that fashion, he insisted to pay the Nitei Gavriel Rav Tzina Shlita a significant sum of money because of his appreciation for the way those svarim were prepared. Says the Gemara, Amalei, so now that Rav Yitzchak explained why he preferred to learn by Rav Sheshis, because Rav Sheshis, as we just learned, had all of this bekiyus, Amalei, so Rav Yitzchak said to Rav Yitzchak, Bamnei Milsa, ask me any question, and you'll see, I'll be able to answer your question from a brisa. Barmenei asked him, Bishul b'miksas kli. If somebody cooked a carbon, but he didn't cook in the entire keli, just it went up to a certain pot, in the pot. The halacha is, we were learning in our shiurim, ton mirkav shtifa, or any time mirkav shtifa. The mirkav shtifa that's required, is it for the whole keli, only for that part of the keli? Amalei, and Rabbi Bachamah said, Einatan, it only requires Mirik v'shtifa up to where the food was. And the raya he brought was Midav Azar. As we've been speaking about the garment that got dirty from the Dam Chatos, that we've been learning only the spot where the blood splattered requires kashering, not the rex. Says the Gemara, V'loi Tari Hachi, but it says that there's a brisa that says differently. Amalei, Mistabra Kebeged. It makes sense that even though if there's no brisa that differently, it makes sense to compare the pot to a garment. Ma Beged and Tarn Kebes El Mokam Adam. Just like we're saying, by the garment, you only have to wash the spot which got dirty. Af kli anytime Marika Shtifa Elba Makam Bishol, you have to wash only the spot that got dirty. Amalei, so Rabbi Yitzchak says to Rabbi Chaim Midomi, can the situation of the garment be compared to the situation of the pot? Dam lemafapeya, if the blood falls and stains the garment, it doesn't spread. The spot on which it fell, that's dirty. However, Bishol, when you cook, says the Gemara Mefapeya, the halach is that bread, that something that you cook, spreads, the tam spreads throughout the entire pot. And therefore, the halach is that it shouldn't be comparable. Vaitanya, says the Gemara, I bring you another raya, that the halach is that you have to do Marika v'shtifa on the entire pot, because the Braisa says, there are certain chumras that Azar has over Marika v'shtifa. And there are certain chumras that Marika v'shtifa have over Azar. And the Braisa elaborates. The halach of Azar applies to both types of chatas, and even if the blood fell on the beged before the Zrikas Adam, as we learned previously, the requirement of kibbutz is there. Mashenke Marika v'shtifa. Marika v'shtifa only applies on the karbonos that are eaten. The chatas panimius, which we know is a carbon that's not eaten, the meat of that carbon is burnt and not eaten. And furthermore, if you cooked that meat of the karbon chatas panimi before the Zrika Saddam, there's no requirement of Marika v'shtifa. On the other hand, says the Braisa, Chaim Marika v'shtifa, Shemarika v'shtifa negis ben b'kotcha kotcha ben b'kotchim kalim, Bisha b'mixes a kli, Ta Marika v'shtifa kala kleli, that the entire keli requires Marika v'shtifa, Mashenke bazar, where hazar is only on the, that hazar only, where the halacha of kibbutz only applies by kachim kachim, and only on the spot that's dirty, not on the entire beged. So we see very clearly that Marika v'shtifa is required on the entire keli, not just on the spot that it got splattered. Amalei, so Rami Bacham said, Itanya Tanya, if there's a braisa that teaches that explicitly, I have nothing to say. And ask the Gemara, Tamamai, why is there a requirement that we should have Bika Marika v'shtifa and the entire keli? And the way to appreciate the Gemara's question, because the Gemara's question is not only regarding the kashering. Because yes, we know that halacha is that when you kasher, you have to kasher the entire pot. But Marika v'shtifa is really the washing and rinsing. Says the Gemara, why do we have to wash and rinse the entire pot? Says the Gemara, because the pasuk says, "Vim b'kli chayus is the b'shala." But feel b'mixakli, the Torah says explicitly that the halacha of Marika v'shtifa applies on the entire pot. But as I said a moment ago, that's a halacha regarding the rinsing and the washing. But when we speak about cooking in a pot, there's no question. Explain all the Paiskim, Rishonim already discussed it, that the tam of the, or whatever blia that goes into the pot spreads throughout the pot. And since it spreads throughout the pot, the halacha would be that you have to kash an entire pot. We learned in the Mishnah, the recha kachim kachim, recha kachim kalim require Marika v'shtifa. Rav Shimon, however, held Kachi Kalam don't require Merikah v'Shtifa. So says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, and the Gemara explains this machloikus. The Pasuk says, as it introduces the parasha of Merikah v'Shtifa, the Torah says, Zois Torah Achatis, En Le'el Achatis. This halacha Merikah v'Shtifa only applies by Kar Mechatis. Kol HaKachim Minayin, how do we know that it applies by all Kachim? Tamalayim HaKadosh Kedoshim Hi. All Kachim require Merikah v'Shtifa. Yachol Shenimabra Afis HaTruma, that even Truma, where was cooked in a pot, she require Merikah v'Shtifa. Yoicha, says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, Kol Zocha Yekahanim Yoichel Oisai. The word Oisai is an exclusionary word to teach us Prat L'Truma, that this halacha doesn't apply by Truma, Divrei Reb Yehuda. Reb Shimon Oimer, Kachi Kachim Tunim Merikah v'Shtifa. Kachim Kalim, Ein Tunim Merikah v'Shtifa. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Kodesh Kedoshim Hi, Kachi Kachim In, Kachim Kalim Loi. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda explain the Pasuk like Rav Shimon explained the Pasuk? And he should also say that the Pasuk is coming to exclude Kachim Kalim. My Tam Rabbi Yehuda, answers the Gemara, mid the Itzruch, Rabbi Yehuda's approach is, mid the Itzruch Oysel Mute Truma, since we need a Pasuk to eliminate Truma, Mechlal, the Kachim Kalim, it's Truma that's exempt, but not and not Kachim Kalim. Kachim Kalim require Merikah v'Shtifa. Rav Shimon Aloch. Rav Shimon says that we say Kachim Kachim comes to eliminate Kachim Kalim, and certainly Truma, and Oysa is coming to Kremrinan, as we learned previously, that if Dam from the Chattis was kosher and then became Pasul, and that blood fell on the Beged, Oysa, that blood doesn't require kibbutz. Ask the Gemara, the Truma Leibai Shtifa Merikah, is that indeed the halacha, that Truma doesn't require Shtifa Merikah Vatanya? Kedei Shabisha by Basar, Leivash by Cholov. A pot that was used to cook the meat may not be used to cook milk. Vimbishal, and if one did cook milk in those pot, but nice and tam. The way to check is to see if this tam from the basar, if this tam from the chalav going into the basar, which we know in halacha means is shishim, that nice and tam is always asur, and we measure nice and tam typically with shishim. Vimbishal, but nice and tam. With truma, if a pot was used to cook truma, we shouldn't cook chulin in it because there are blias of the truma in it. And again, the shear is bishul by satam. So we see that by truma, there is a requirement for kashering. So how could the Gemara say that this halacha only applies by kachim and doesn't apply by truma? Don't we see that it requires kashering? Amar bai lo tzricha adam amar. Bishul mixes kli. Here we're not talking about the kashering. That's the way to learn the Gemara. A kashering, of course, is required. Here we're talking about the halacha of Merikah v'Shtifa. Bishul mixes kli tar Merikah v'Shtifa kol kli. That's the halacha only by kachim. Hatruma lo tzarach. When we speak about truma, makom bishul. Truma, there's a din that, of course, the pot that was used for truma must be kashered, but it has nothing to do with Merikah v'Shtifa. Rava Amar, Rava says, it means to teach you something else. Le'tzricha l'adam amar. It's here to teach us when the Pasuk says, Umarak v'shotaf b'mayim, b'mayim v'loi b'yayin, b'mayim v'loi b'mozak, that the halacha is that you can't do kashering only with water. Ha truma afil b'mayim v'afil b'mozak. That you could kasher even with different liquids. And of course, this is a most interesting discussion. The halacha is, this is a very important discussion amongst the Rishonim. The Ramban says that kashering could only be done with water. And he says, and the Rashba, starts the question that you can question, that you can kasher with other liquids other than water. And he wants to base his opinion, based on what we just learned in the Gemara, that differentiated when we're kashering kachim. They hear the Gemara says when you kasher kachim, you need to use water for everything else. You could use afilu b'yayin, afilu b'mozuk. The Ran, however, says that this differentiation is only the opinion of Abaya. And he says that not everybody agrees with Abaya. And moreover, says the Ran, as we've been saying throughout our shir, that our Gemara is not really specifically or primarily focused on kashrin. Our Gemara is primarily focused on Marika Vishtifa. And there are different halachas between Marika Vishtifa and kashrin. But for kashrin, the Ramban is the opinion that the only thing that could be used for kashrin is water. He says that water has the ability to take out any bliyah that's in the walls of a pat, whereas any other liquid doesn't have that ability. And the Shulchan Aruch paskens that way, that you should only kasher with water. But the Ramah in Yoredei Simon Tufnum Beis Sif Hei says, Ve'magil b'shul mashka, we shouldn't use any other type of liquid, rak b'mayim, only water. Miu b'dayev mahanim b'hagol b'kol mashka. B'dayev you could use sham mashkim to kasher. So the Ramah is being lenient with the Evid that you could use other types of liquids. But Chatchila, everybody agrees that you should only use water. There's a very famous tshuva from a Moshe. In the Shalos Tshuvos Igros Moshe Yoredei Chelek Aleph Simen Samach about koshering a factory that makes margarine, and you want to kosher that factory with liquid margarine, with oil, would that be an acceptable method of kashering? And Ramosha says that, as the Ramos says, that kashering with shar mashkim is only acceptable b'dievid. Besides that it's only acceptable b'dievid, there are two other considerations that one must think about under such circumstances. One is to teach us that it's only acceptable b'dievet. Moreover, we have to know what is considered shar mashkin. Many poskim are of the opinion that the definition of shar mashkin are only things that are liquid at room temperature. But if you have an item that is not liquid at room temperature, only when you heat it up does it become liquid, that might not be shar mashkin. That might even be worse than shar mashkin. This question comes up when you kasher of machinery that was used for chocolate. And machinery that's used for chocolate, they are very adverse to putting water into such equipment. So if you want to kasher that machinery, for example, you have dairy chocolate, and now you want to have parv chocolate, and you need to kasher, but they're not going to want to kasher with water. Can you liquefy chocolate and kasher with chocolate? So there are a number of reasons that the Pais can take a strict approach to this question. Number one is because chocolate at room temperature is a solid. It's not a liquid. The other reason is that, as we learned, Derma is only lenient with kashering with May Paris, with Shah Mashkin, in a B'dievet situation. So if there's a food that's absolutely necessary and there's no other way to kasher, to get that food kosher, and Moshe speaks about this, only with kashering with shar mashkin, there may be room for leniency. But if the food that you're kashering for is not a necessary food, you don't have to have power of a chocolate, maybe kashering with shar mashkin would not be permissible. Rabbi Ula Maloy Tzricha when the Pasuk is speaking, excluding Truma, it's referring to Nadalach, Gamamar. Mrika v'shtifa b'tzoynen, after we kasher, we have to rinse the thing that we kashered with cold water. Ha Truma fil b'chamin. But by Truma, we don't have to do it with hot water. With cold water, we could do it even with warm water. It says the Mahan Nichla Mandama, Mrika v'shtifa b'tzoynen. So now we could understand the difference between Kachem and Truma. But ask the Gemara, Elamanda Amr, according to the opinion that Mrika v'shtifa b'tzoynen, that the Mrika v'shtifa is done b'tzoynen, so what is meant to be taught here, Michael Amamer, so what is meant to be said here? Says the Gemara, v'shtifa yisertuhu. What the Gemara means to have is that when you're kashering Kachem, the halacha requires that after you kasher, you kasher with boiling water and then you rinse it with cold water. Truma doesn't have to have that cold rinse after. But even though the Gemara is saying that when we kasher from Truma, we don't necessarily have to have a cold rinse, the halacha is that when we kasher, we should rinse while we're kashering with cold water. And the reason for doing so is because when we kasher, what does kasher accomplish? That we should take, we're extracting the bleus, we're extracting everything that was absorbed into the walls of the pot by doing hagala. But the question is, if everything is still hot, not just hot, it's boiling hot, we need to be concerned that whatever we just extracted, whatever blea we just extracted, will get reabsorbed into the pot. So how do we avoid that from happening? By rinsing it with cold water. By rinsing it with cold water, then all the bleas that came out are immediately rinsed off and won't get reabsorbed. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Noagin lishtof hakli b'mayim karim acha hagola miyad. That immediately after the hagola, we should rinse the pot or whatever we kashered with cold water to make sure it doesn't get reabsorbed. And I even saw that there's a minig that says that you don't have to necessarily rinse it. You could dip it into cold water. It's all the same. The point being that you want to make sure that it doesn't get reabsorbed. And that's why the Paiskim say you should make sure that it's cold water you use to rinse off the pot, certainly not hot water, because that will only create more of a situation of a blia, and not even lukewarm water. What you should use is cold water.